Assalamualaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاتي ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start out by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who watches over us at all times, who hears us, who knows of our situation and is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who changes our situation when we call on to Him, when we ask Him. We then send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was not only sent as a mercy to mankind, but as an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just wants us to worship, but how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to interact and deal with one another. We send peace and blessings upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family members, those who helped him and aided him. Amma ba'd thereafter. Usually when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we tend to start at the age of 40. And there is a reason for this, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is where he received divine revelation. And we think that from age 40 to age 63 is where our focus should be at. But in reality, there are many incidents that happened before age 40, or if I were to change my words, age before age 40 was a buildup and was the building blocks the building of the identification, or if we would put it into our words in today's day and age, this is where the Prophet ﷺ built his credibility amongst people. Because before age 40, this is where they got to know who he was, what he did for the community, what his akhlaq was like, what his character was like. And when the Quraysh objected against the Prophet ﷺ, they called him all types of names. Majnoon, crazy, a magician, a poet, a soothsayer. But the one thing that they were not able to touch about the Prophet ﷺ was his character. There is no narration that says that the Prophet ﷺ was a bad man. The Quraysh never said this. They never said that he was dishonest, or he lied, or he didn't help people, or he wasn't merciful, or he wasn't kind. Why? Because for 40 years of life of the Prophet ﷺ, this is what the Prophet ﷺ not just said, but he lived. To the point that when the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, and we've mentioned this many times before, he goes home to his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid and he says to Khadija, Zammiluni, cover me. Something big has happened, I'm shaking. And he tells Khadija what had happened, and Khadija responds back by saying, Allah will not destroy you. Why? Because, and this narration is mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, and she goes over 5 to 6 different characteristics, and each one talks about how the Prophet ﷺ helped others. She said that you're good to your family. Whenever there's something that people back away from, that they don't want to help, it is you that steps up. You help the orphans, you help the poor, you are with the people who have nobody. And all each of these characteristics is how the Prophet ﷺ, he fulfilled his responsibility towards others. Now, before revelation, an incident takes place where this outsider, a person that was from Yemen, he's from a clan called Zubayd, he comes into Makkah al-Mukarramah, and his intention was that I'm going to perform Umrah in whatever way that they did Umrah before Islam. And at the same time, you might as well kill two birds with one stone. At the same time, I will buy and sell whatever goods I have. He comes into the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and then he goes to the market. He's still in his ihram, he's still in his garments. And he bumps into somebody, and this person is actually very noble. He's a distant relative of the Prophet ﷺ, As bin Wail. And he says to As bin Wail, these are my goods, I want to sell them. And As bin Wail says that instead of you going selling 5 pieces to that person and 10 pieces to that person, give me everything. I will offload everything, give me a good price, and we're good to go. The Zubaydi thinks the profit margin may be a little less. However, I won't have to worry about taking stuff back home. I could just offload everything and clear my hands. As bin Wail, he says to the Zubaydi that because I'm buying so much off of you, I need some time to gather that money. Let me sell some of this product. Let me offload some of this product, sell it, and make some money so that I can give it to you. The Zubaydi agrees. After a few days, he comes back, he performs his Umrah. He comes back and he says to As bin Wail, As, where's my money? And As bin Wail, he pushes it off, I need some more time, I need some more time. To finally, he says, what money are you talking about? I don't owe you anything. And the Zubaydi now thinks to himself, I've just become bankrupt. Like that. I bought everything, thinking to myself, I can make some money, go back and provide for my family, and now I've just lost everything and it's gone. And he goes door to door in Makkah, saying, help me. This is my situation. I've lost everything. And people had no answer. Why? Because As bin Wail is one of ours. You're an outsider. You're going to be gone tomorrow. We're going to stick with ours. The Zubaydi, what he does, he puts together a poem.
And in this poem, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, who narrates this hadith, I want to point out one piece of it. He says, nobility is not by living next to the Kaaba. You don't gain nobility based upon where you live, what zip code you are in, whether it's a gated community or not. How big the house is, that does not give you nobility. The Zubaydi says, nobility is how you treat others. And he goes on to say, when people find out that the people that were supposed to take care of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what's happening and how they're scamming people, and then, you know, it's not safe here, they're going to stop coming to the house of Allah. When he says this, a group of the Quraysh come together and they say, we have a problem. Our problem here is, if people stop coming, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable of stopping people from coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, who can be worse than a person who stops people from coming to the masjid? Who stops people from, if you are the reason why somebody else doesn't feel welcome here, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ If you are the reason why children don't like coming to the masjid, we now have a problem. If because of your temper, you're pushing people away. Why? Because they don't wear the same brand of Islam that you wear. We now have a problem. So they come together and say, let's put together a treaty that no matter what, who the person is, whether they are from amongst us or they're an outsider, we will stand up and help the one that's being oppressed. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, later on he says, Unsur akhaka, help your brother. It is your responsibility to help your brother, whether if he is the one that's being oppressed or if he's the one who is oppressing somebody else. The companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, how are we supposed to one help the person who is oppressing? We understand that we stand up for the one that's weak, but how are we supposed to help the person that's oppressing? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, by speaking up, by doing something, by stopping it. Help him. He's ruining his dunya, he's ruining his akhirah. Now in this gathering, where they come together and sign this contract, there was this young boy there, who was of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, later on when he mentions this narration, so to finish off our story, after signing this treaty, they go to Asbin Wail and say, Asbin Wail, you now have to pay up. Things are going to change now. We're not going to sit here and stand for oppression in our community. Why? Because where we have a responsibility to one another, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to talk about that, what our responsibility to one another is, sometimes we have a responsibility to our community. And at the same time, our community has a responsibility to us. The masjid, the Muslim community, has a responsibility to you. If we, as a masjid, are not fulfilling our responsibility to you, then we will be held accountable. And if I, as a person, if I'm not fulfilling my responsibility to my masjid, to my community, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold me accountable as well. It's a two-way relationship. Every relationship that you step into, whether it's with your community, whether with your masjid, your children, your spouse, it's two ways. The famous narration where this father comes to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he says to Umar bin Khattab, that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, my son, he's disobedient to me. Right? This is like a very common thing. My son is disobedient to me. Can you talk to my son and fix him? Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, sure. The son was smart as well. He comes to Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, Umar, before you give me the whole shapil about being righteous to my parents, tell me, do I have any rights on my parents? Everyone always speaks about the parents' right, but do I have any rights? And that's where you realize that every relationship, whether it's a relationship of just two people that stand next to each other, toe to toe in the masjid, you have rights on one another. You have a responsibility. And if one of you is not fulfilling this responsibility, the relationship will fall apart. Within our homes, if I expect my spouse to do everything for me, but I'm not doing anything back for my spouse, that relationship will collapse. If I expect my children to do everything for me, but I am not doing anything for my children, then that relationship will collapse. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so now after he becomes a prophet, he refers back to this treaty, Half al-Fudul, and he says that, if the non-Muslims were to call me to sign a treaty like that and come together and form a pact like that where we are helping society, where we are fulfilling our civic responsibility and our duty, where we are fulfilling our responsibility to one another, to our community, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will sign that treaty. And then he carries on and he says, my presence in that treaty, and I want you to realize, the people that signed this treaty, they were not Muslims. They were idol worshippers. They gathered in the house of Abdullah bin Jad'an, in the house of Abdullah bin Jad'an. And when they signed this treaty, they weren't Muslims. But the Prophet ﷺ says, my presence in that gathering was so dear to me that if somebody were to trade me 100 red camels, I wouldn't take the trade. Why? Because we were helping our community. And that is, as Muslims here in America, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us responsibilities on everything. Everything that you interact with. Not just people, but everything that you interact with has responsibilities. Your neighbors, you have a responsibility to your neighbors. Your home, you have a responsibility to your home. Even your car has a responsibility that you have. You look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he talks about overburdening your animal, which translates to not changing your oil, which translates to not putting on the right tires, which translates to leaving your car as a mess. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't overburden your ride, meaning that you have a responsibility. And that's where Islam came. Islam came to give everything its rights. And that's the beauty of our religion. In the famous narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that every Muslim has six rights to another Muslim. And where these rights may seem very basic, there's actually a very deep meaning to it. He starts off by saying the right of every Muslim is that you greet them with salam. And the purpose of this is not just assalamu alaikum, it's not just a phrase that we say. But the purpose of this is, it is my responsibility that we come together with peace. I will not harm you. You're safe from me, brother. We're on good terms. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the responsibility that you have, the rights that you have, is when they greet, when they invite you, you accept their invitation. When they give you a da'wah, come over to my house. Why? Because our responsibility is that this relationship isn't just face value. It's not just surface. But you make it intimate. You go to each other's houses. You get to know each other. You connect at a deeper level. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then says that when he asks you for advice, you give him sincere advice. Number three, the right of a believer is when they ask you for advice, you give them sincere advice. That you care for their well-being. And then number four, Rasulullah says, when he sneezes, you say alhamdulillah. When he's ill, you visit him. Number four and five, it means every time your Muslim brother is going through a trouble, you are there for them. Whether it's something as small as a sneeze, or if they're actually sick in the hospital, you have a responsibility that you must fulfill. But this relationship doesn't just stop here. To the point that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the sixth right that every Muslim has on another Muslim is when they pass away, you attend their janazah. And this hadith, where it may seem like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just telling us six basic things, say salam, go to each other's houses. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually building a community. The roots to a community in this one simple hadith. That you have to be there for one another. If you're not there for one another, then this community is fake. There is no sustenance here. It's just a masjid. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the companions went to Habsha, Ethiopia, after returning back, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with his companions. This narration is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, in Habsha, in Ethiopia, was there anything ajib? Was anything weird? What stuck out to you there? You lived there for so long, you gained peace there. What stuck out to you? Jabir ibn Abdullah, he narrates this, he said that one of the companions said that, Ya Rasulullah, one time we were in the marketplace, and this nun who was carrying a pot, like a clay pot on her head, with water. She went to go fill up water, and she was carrying this clay pot on her head. A young man came and put his hand on her chest and shoved her back to the point that she fell down and the clay pot fell down. Broke, water wasted. She then spoke up to him and said, "Oh, young fool, you will come to know on the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's footstool is set, on the day that the very first of us and the very last of us will be gathered, on the day that our hands and limbs will speak, you will come to know what your situation is and what my situation is. This that just happened, because I was weak and you were strong, and you did this right here, you will come to know what our situation is." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sees this, when he hears this, he says, "She spoke the truth. She spoke the truth." And he says three times. But then the unique part of this narration that I really want to emphasize on is what the Prophet ﷺ said next. If this were to happen here in our community, think about it. What would happen? Every single one of us would jump on that youngster. "What's wrong with you? How can you do this?" But the Prophet ﷺ, what he emphasizes, he says, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor a nation where the strong of them don't help the weak of them? The Prophet ﷺ doesn't point out the youngster, saying that, look, yes, he is at fault here, but the true people at fault are the people that allowed it, the people in the community, who did not fulfill the responsibility that they have. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very famous narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran," whoever sees something wrong, you have a responsibility. Stop it with your hands. And if you cannot stop it with your hands, if you cannot do something about it, if you are just a common person who is trying to provide for your family, you're working that 9 to 5, you're spending time with your children, and you cannot stop it, then you at least, number two, you have a voice. Your voice matters. Use your voice, speak up against it. And if you can't even do that, then at least know it's wrong in your heart. These are your responsibility. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stopping with your hand is the best way to fulfill that responsibility. And if you cannot do that, then use your voice a step down. And if you cannot do that, then you're all the way at the bottom. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ is that you at least acknowledge what's happening is wrong in your heart. Now the reason why we say this is that each one of us has a responsibility to our community. Not just the masjid, but the community at large that we live in. And each of us has a voice. I remember one time I was driving here to the masjid, and I was listening to NPR. And there's one sentence that really stuck out to me. It was a Muslim lady who was talking about, her situation. And she said that, "I grew up with 5 brothers, and I was always taught that if you're not at the table, then your voice will never be heard. If you don't stand up and speak and do something, then your situation will never be heard." Tomorrow we have election day. And my purpose here is not to tell you who to vote for. That's up to you. But you have a right. And as a Muslim, you have a right to your community that you should fulfill. And the reason being is that your voice matters. the thought crosses my mind all the time. What's one extra vote going to do? Is it going to shift things? A couple years back, we all went out and said that we're going to go and vote for the presidential votes and make a change, but what happened? So sometimes this thought may cross your mind, but your vote matters. Why? Because it's then calculated, and the statistics are pulled. How many Muslims from Frisco, how many immigrants from Frisco, how many people from the Middle East from Frisco got up and voted? And that has weight in it. It gives power to our community. It gives importance to our community, because if you're not at the table, then your voice will never be heard. Your issues will always be a back. It will be on the back burner. It will always be a second thought. We look at other communities and say, oh, mashallah, so that community, they get days off for Eid. That community, the kids can, you know, be excused from Juma. So many different things. And we ask ourselves, why are they there or why are we here? And one of the answers to that is because their voice has weight. Their voice has weight. They take care of their civic duty. People understand that the Muslims can make a difference. And tomorrow we have, again, tomorrow's voting day. And the purpose of this khutbah is to share with y'all that each of us has a responsibility to one another, to our community, a way that we can make a change. Exercise this right that you have. We look at back home where people don't have this right of voting, and people don't have this right for their voice to be heard. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a place where we can exercise this right. And we can help others, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We went through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out so many different times. It's not about just you. It's about how you help others. It's about what you do for others. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us people that make changes, to stand up for that which is injustice. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ مَا سَائِرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان أو الله سبحانه وتعالى. We ask for infinite mercy. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you have mercy upon our community. O Allah, we ask you give unity amongst our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you protect us from any type of harm. You protect us from any type of fitna. You protect us from any type of shar. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make the people that rule over us people that are righteous. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you help any Muslim that is struggling. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for closeness to you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that you forgive our sins. O Allah, if there's anybody that's ill in our community, we ask that you give them shifa. O Allah, if there's anybody that's passed away in our community, we ask that you forgive their sins. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give them strength to their family and their loved ones and give them patience. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us the ability to continue worship you the way that we did in the month of Ramadan. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we come to the days of graduation, O Allah, we ask that you write good for our children in the future. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you protect him from the fire of Jahannam. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqimus salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There's a dua request for Brother Duhab, who passed away in Pakistan, also Sister Dania, who is a part of our Quran Academy teacher. Many of your children have read Quran and learned Quran with her. Her grandmother has passed away. So for both of the deceased, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their grave from the garden of paradise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wash away their minor and major sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives their family strength during this hard time and patience. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. A couple of quick announcements. On the brothers' exit, you will find the Young Muslims of Frisco with Dr. Asif Hirani. If you'd like to help support them, they have books for sale, so please swing by the blue tent right outside the brothers' entrance. The Uswa Seminary Aqidah 101 class is currently taking registration, and you can register at go.friscomusjid.org/AQD101. And lastly, we have our blood drive and free clinic on May 13th. That's a Saturday. The blood drive will last from 11 to 5 p.m. and the free clinic from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. You can sign up to donate blood at redcrossblood.org and search ICF to make an appointment. Jazakallah, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.